Tonight, Patty catches up with pretty late pal Dr. Sandy Goldberg. Then later, we'll get the latest on Chicago sports from reporter Mark Carmen. And last, but certainly not least, the Cupid Players are back with another bedtime lullaby. All that and so much more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, I can feel the excitement in the air. I think all these people are, why aren't there people just already camped out for the big parade? I would imagine there's got to be some place where people are going to start mustering. That's what I heard Rokan say earlier, that people are going to muster at a parking lot to start the parade. And I realized, you know what? That makes complete sense. For a parade, you would muster in one location.
I want to tailgate at Soldier Field, right?
I believe that's not allowed.
It's not allowed. The fun police will be on full patrol tomorrow.
The anti-fun police.
Those guys are great.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Yes, the anti-fun police.
If they were fun police, they would be,
right.
They would be great
That would be a different story.
They'd have, Nerf guns.
That should definitely be a thing. We invent things all the time in the show. Fun police? That sounds amazing.
Sounds like a band.
It does sound like a band.
It does. But if they would go to your party, this party's not fun enough yet.
No.
And they just make things more fun?
Bring in the fun police.
That sounds awesome.
They will ensure that people
For family gatherings, the
laughing.
Fun police could be crucial.
I need them at least a bartend.
Yeah.
I need the fun police. So, yes, there's going to be no tailgating, no booze, what are the other restrictions? For Soldier Field. Well, one, the restriction is not everybody can get in. I don't know if you've ever sat in front of a computer screen waiting to log in and get your chance. Like, for me, and this is so not the same thing, but the Chicago Park District has that one day, they do different zones where you can register for the day camps, and I just stopped doing it because, one, Griffin didn't even like it, and it was the most stressful thing. Like, I would have two laptops because you couldn't do, like, more than one child at one time. So I would have two laptops open in a main computer and just be in front of all, like, have them all ready to go, and right at 9 o'clock have to hit enter on all of them, have everything in the cart. So today I think people were trying to do that for the tickets to Soldier Field for the big celebration for the Blackhawks. And 312-981-7200. I know some of you had to have gone through this. Either you were unable to get tickets or you were successful. We want to know your story. 312-981-7200. Did you secure tickets for the big celebration at Soldier Field? Now we must, WGN is going to have a lot of people. We did not. You know, I was expecting all day, Craig. I mean, I was expecting an email going out saying, hey, if you're planning on being at Soldier Field, this is what time. Nothing. No invitation.
Yes, I was expecting a formal invitation.
WGN, I would just think that they would let their employees sort of participate in some.
That sounds kind of nice. I was on Ticketmaster throughout the day, and then I didn't stay on right at noon. But from what I heard from a lot of my friends who were on is that it was incredibly difficult to actually get some of those tickets. You'd actually click right at noon, buy for free, and it would say updating, and then you didn't get any.
Right. So then your brain goes, do I just shut down my computer and start all over again? How do I get back into the system?
No, that's a mistake, too, because then you're out.
Well, and then you – it seems like they made it actually harder than it would go – than wearing red at a Tampa Bay Lightning game is what they seem to have done at our own. And our mayor said he was going to make this a world-class celebration for the city, but for just a few of you, not all of you. We know there's going to be about 12 to 15 times more than the people that are going to show up at Soldier Field. So if you don't mind –
What
10,
if we can
not
just –
double. What, 60? Wow. Yeah, no, it's right. Right, a million people? 60,000? A million people might be coming downtown tomorrow. Look, in 2 days for the Air and Water Show, a million people come to the lakefront. I'm telling you, a million people will be coming down to this parade.
In the city's defense, and look,
I know.
I have no great love for the people that run this tiny little hamlet we live in.
In this great city, yes.
It is. It is a great city.
Mm-hmm.
But look, Grant Park is basically a mess right now.
From the rain
and
damage.
They don't want all of the people that are anticipated, as you just said, who are coming down, who will come down, to be trampling all over the place. So they tried the next best thing. Clearly, this is not satisfying most, but that's what they're doing.
Well, and I also wondered why they just didn't go ahead and do it on Friday. I think that would just be helpful to many people, considering they're kind of – many people sort of – They post it. They mail it in on Fridays, don't they? Why do it on Thursday? Now you got to show up and be useless on Friday as well. I'm just saying. I'm not wrong. I know. I sound like my dad now. Am I wrong? Come on. Come on, Rob. Tell me. Am I wrong? Eh? That's what my dad always sounded like. Eh. I think Friday. Why would Friday be a bad day for this event?
Doesn't the Stanley Cup have to be somewhere this weekend? Somebody was saying Vegas.
It has a schedule.
No, it's serious. I think the Stanley Cup has to be in Vegas because the NHL Awards show is taking place.
They can wait until we're in Chicago. Yeah. We have things to do to that cup. Mostly look at it. It was right here in the studio. And I kind of knew that, and I don't know why, because we have that big party for it, and I thought it was earlier in the year, and then Craig reminded me it was right around Halloween last time we had the cup.
Yeah, because it was right when I started working here.
Oh, really?
Before Halloween.
In 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Craig was dressed up as a firefighter.
The television series,
Chicago Fire, had geared you up.
They came in studio and geared us all up, and I took off the fire jacket, so I just had the suspenders on.
So that's my banner picture on my Facebook page with you and the Stanley Cup.
And here's some more good news. Not only are we going to enjoy the parade tomorrow here on WGN Radio and the rally and the cup and a great summer celebrating a Stanley Cup victory, but earlier tonight, General Manager Stan Bowman of the Blackhawks said he is intent on re-signing forward Brandon Saad.
Oh.
So that's good news.
And Brandon Saad said he is intent on giving the Blackhawks a break on his salary, I believe.
A slight discount.
A discount.
Yes.
An industry discount?
Yes.
Not for nothing, but you can get me cheaper than some other teams.
But this is pretty cool, though, because this is rare in professional sports these days when a career is so finite. Guys take what they can when they can get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Brandon Saad, who is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by the way, recognizes the fact that this is going to be a franchise that is going to be a force to be reckoned with for a long, long time, and he wants to be a part of it. So
right,
I applaud him for that.
And the guys that are locked in are Kane and Taves, right?
Kane, Taves, Keith and Crawford.
Yeah.
Okay.
Patrick Sharp's going to talk about his future with the Hawks.
That's the one I heard is on the bubble.
Yeah, I think he's on the bubble. Him and the Bickle might both
be
on the bubble.
This is so weird. On the bubble.
This is the strangest thing. Like, we just...
Bickle on the bubble.
Sorry. I kind of like that.
Bickle on the bubble.
Everybody, right, one, two, three. Bickle on the bubble.
Bickle on the bubble.
Oh, bickle on the bubble.
Wow, none of us timed that out at all.
I kind of like it.
That was an echo situation.
I kind of liked it that way. I do think it's funny that we're already talking about, so on the back page of one of the newspapers, not the Chicago Tribune, has sobering thoughts. We go for like the title town on the front page, sobering thoughts on the back, it was so fast.
What's in the middle?
We're like, whoa, hold on. So
hey, after the Hawks won 2-0 in Game 6 to take the Stanley Cup final, in the press room after the game, Coach Joel Quenneville was asked, so how do you think the team's going to look next season? The guy hadn't even been in the locker room yet.
How is it going to look? I smell like champagne right now. Back off, everybody.
Enjoy the moment.
I'm going to drink out of this cup. And I also did hear one of the players today talking about what goes in the cup. Oh, one of them said he takes a shower with it. Yes. Who was that?
Brent Sopel, I think.
I listened to so many shows today on our station. But yes, did you hear that, Jill? That he showers. What he said he's been dreaming about having the Stanley Cup since he was 2 years old and everything he would do with it, including taking a shower with it. I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with taking a shower with it.
I need a selfie of that, though.
But I don't know what people do with that cup. But, so I hope the shower comes after.
Well, he was saying that the cup arrives at its next destination completely cleaned and sanitized.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Each time.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Mm-hmm. What, do they, like, Febreze the thing down or something?
It's got to be something more potent than Febreze. That's exactly the sound you make when you disinfect the cup. I don't know. Let's make some sounds while we take a moment and make your own sounds of cleaning the Stanley Cup. It's pretty late on 720 WGN. Here, Craig, I'm going to do the end of that with a little, I was at Burlesque today, a little.
Oh, I see. Now the hands are flipping a little bit. It's not just the wave.
Like exactly. Yeah. It's up to the, we do, it's
the up, wave with attitude.
Up to the rafters.
Nice.
Yeah, there you go, with the pose.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. I am sporting a championship shirt. I told you last night that I was not going to buy. I have enough Blackhawks gear. And I was like, what difference does it make? Just wear Blackhawks stuff. And
history. It's history. You have a historic shirt on now.
It was pretty cool. Can I tell you, it was very exciting to go shopping for this. But I did lament to our newsman, Rob Martier, as I stopped by. There were very few choices in red for women. There was, in my size, there was nothing in red. And For boys, for my boys, there was only gray and black. Why would I want to show up at a big celebration wearing black or gray? I mean, I it looks cool. It's very slimming. Thank you. V-neck. There was a cool black shirt with a silver emblem of the Stanley Cup that I really wanted. And then my husband, he goes, you know how much of a pain in the ass it's going to be to wash? You can't put it in the dryer. It's going to ruin the decal. So we had a whole sitting there at Dick's Sporting Goods having this debate over how we're going to wash this Stanley Cup shirt. I know. So now, Rob, you were saying that hopefully Mrs. Rob stopped by and picked something up for you.
Well, we're currently in a
an impasse?
In a silent period.
Are you a monk? Are you pretending to be monks around each other? Because that's hot.
That's right. Mrs. Rob and I are currently in a timeout.
Are you in the time? I sense that you're in the timeout.
I'm not in the. She's in the timeout.
She's in the timeout. Do you want to discuss, or is this something you want to work out later? Okay.
You know what it is, Patty? It is typical marriage stuff.
Okay.
Nothing more, nothing less. But you know how things escalate.
Anyway,
yeah, let's leave that alone. Mrs. Rob, call in 312-981-7200.
Mrs. Rob, please don't.
Mrs. Rob, call into the station.
Yeah. She leaves. She goes through the Ogilvy Transportation Center, and I guess they've got a pop-up store there for Blackhawks stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that although she's, you know, aggravated with me for nothing that I have done, that she bought me a shirt.
I bet she did. I hope so. You have to let us know. You have to let us know in the middle of the night what the results are of that. I did end up with a black shirt. I think Steve, my husband, was the only one who ended up with a red shirt. But and the thing is, like, I don't know. It was very weird to be at Dick's Sporting Goods, which is one of the big stores that is, you know, advertising. They're carrying a huge stock of shirts. Are you going to get one, Craig? Are you going to pick something up?
I haven't decided yet. I kind of agree with you that if you have enough Blackhawks, things are ready. But it always, if I saw one, if I walked by one, I'd probably buy it. But I haven't. I haven't done that yet. I haven't gone somewhere where I know they are.
I'm returning the other two that I picked up because I actually bought a shirt. It was a really cute women's shirt, not a championship shirt, just a regular Blackhawks shirt that I liked. In a large, I'm usually a medium, but that's all I had were larges. I went home. I don't know what kind of large they were sewing that for in China, but apparently for women that carry nothing in front up top. So it was a little bit snug. Let's just say that right there. And I could not wear that one. But 312-981-7200, where are you picking up your Blackhawks championship gear? I want to know where the cool stuff is because I kind of like this shirt. Rob, you said it was okay. Yes, the black.
Very nice. Yeah, no. Very
but
nice.
I want red. There should be red. That's our colors. I mean, I know it's black and red. But
I agree with you on the color.
Yeah. It should be red. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and the blood is the most vibrant of that. So I want... Not a lot of tears. I mean, like, there were some tears for me when we were at the game and we didn't get to win that day. But, yeah, I'm excited. Now, what are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to watch this on WGN TV? Are you planning, Rob, to – you're not going to be down here.
No, it'll depend on the monkeys. I've got to take one to summer camp. I've got the other one with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually like a Sesame Street kind of morning sort of thing.
That's not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
Let's see where Eric is getting his championship gear. Hey, Eric, where are you picking up your shirts?
I was actually at Costco today in Lincoln Park, and they had championship red shirts
for
$12.95.
What? Oh, let's go. Craig, how late are they open? I think they're closed now. All right.
Yeah, they're closed now, unfortunately.
They're closed. Were there a lot of people around the table just picking at everything, unfolding everything?
No, not at all. They had hundreds of them.
What?
And the only problem was is they don't have them in, like, small.
They're
medium through double extra large, but they're red championship Hawks jerseys.
All right. Shirt. Now I know. Now I know where to go get my shirt. I'm going to go get one tomorrow. Thank you, Eric. And are you going to what do you want to buy from this championship season?
I was hoping they would come out with quarter zip sweatshirts, but I haven't seen one yet.
Ah, see, we all have our preferences for what we want. I think those should be around pretty soon. Give them a little time. Thanks so much, Eric. Have a great night.
No problem. Bye.
Yeah, I now, Jill, are you going to get anything for you and DJ and Dan for the Blackhawks championship gear?
Well, DJ already has a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Dan bought it. It's a size 2, but I put him in it anyway. I already have one. I don't know where it is, to be honest with you. I've just been so caught up in other things. I guess the answer is no.
No. Not the 2015 specific shirt?
No. No. I mean, if I come across something, or I would like to get something for DJ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm eating a piece of cheese.
You are.
For when he's older. Oh, yeah. I would like for him to have that, but I haven't even thought about it until you mentioned it.
And that's what Steve and I believe Craig, they were both alluding to the fact that you need something to, you know, to commemorate.
That's true, because not only... me being a huge White Sox fan, but when they won, I've got 3 T-shirts.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Judy just called into the show, too, to say that you can pick up a Blackhawks red shirt at the Jewels.
At the Jewels?
The Jewels have the championship shirts,
yeah,
too.
I believe that, yeah.
What was, it doing at, what was it doing at Dick's?
I don't know.
It just seemed like
you went where everybody else would go. You got to go to the grocery store.
I got to go to the grocery store and then the Costco's.
The Costco's.
Do we call it the Costco's and the Jewels?
No, we don't. It's just Costco, I think.
Costco.
I don't think it's plural.
I have a question, Jill, about your kids, about your kid, your child's shirts, about DJ's shirts. As he gets bigger, do you have a plan for what you're going to do? Are you keeping everything? Because I have been storing my boys, like my favorite shirts for my boys, because you can make a quilt out of all your favorite T-shirts.
Oh, how sweet. You know what? I'm keeping the things like what he came home from the hospital in. Mm-hmm. Certain things that have meaning to me, I'm keeping.
Okay.
I cannot part with them. I know they're just objects, but
right.
I won't do it.
I think I actually bought like a Groupon to have the T-shirts made into a quilt.
That is so sweet. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dan thinks I'm nuts. Like, I want to put in his baby book, like, why he was named DJ for Daniel Jr.
Right.
But D for Dan, J for Jill, and we're both in radio. Right. Like, I want him to know that.
Of course. It's part of his story.
Right. And Dan's just like, guys don't care. I said, he'll care when he's older.
He will absolutely care. Because it's your son. What?
Not really.
All right.
His girlfriend's going to care, though.
Well, you know what, Craig? I told Dan, everything I always say is when he gets married, and Dan's like, I said, the girl will care. He will care when he falls in love.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have things to embarrass him with at the wedding.
That's the plan,
all
Patty.
Those things. Wow, the streets are lining up with all kinds of fans. Go Blackhawks. All right, more after the...
I'm so upset. Your voice is so feeble.
Go Blackhawks. I don't want to yell. There's kids. It might be almost bedtime. More after this on 720 WGN. Told you the fans are starting to line up right outside the Showcase Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Got a lot of fans from Naperville. Are you guys Blackhawks fans at all? Just a little bit?
Yeah!
Everyone's going to the parade tomorrow?
Yeah!
Do you have tickets to Soldier Field?
No.
Oh, did you try?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See,
Patty, have him do Chelsea's Dagger for you.
Chelsea's Dagger. Give me a little Chelsea's Dagger.
I just did it.
There you go. You did. I don't have tickets for you. That's not why we were having you do it. But give me, who do you want to shout out for? Yell all your names at us from Naperville.
We got Maddie. We got Vinny. We got Rocco. We got Nico. We got Vincey. Michael Ramondi and Logan.
Hey, everybody.
George, Michelle, and
that's a,
Nicole.
Do you guys all come in one car? That's a couple of car trips. Two cars. Are you staying downtown?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's so great to see the Irish embracing hockey. You know what I mean?
It really is.
A lot of Italian names. What can we
have a
yeah,
great
time. There's some good Italians out there.
Yeah, that's why the sirens are coming.
Yeah, you forget about it.
Forget about it. Have a great time, you guys. Have fun.
Have a good night. Have a good night, Paisans. Have a good night, Paisans.
Good night, everybody. Have fun. Be safe. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And joining me right now is I'm so excited. I was like, how am I going to introduce her today? Make sure I looked up her introduction and everything. Dr. Sandy Goldberg, who is the founder of a Silver Linings Foundation. And I met you several years ago at a fundraiser, but I had seen you on television with your segments, always giving out so much great advice about health and nutrition, staying in shape, taking care of yourself. How long have you been a doctor?
Oh, my God. I got my degree. I think it was 1985. How can that be when I'm 39?
Exactly.
I just don't get it, Patty.
The math does not add up at all.
No, it does not.
And what specialty have you focused on? Or what, at the time, what did you plan to do?
Initially, I was actually going to be an English teacher.
So totally.
Really?
Wait a minute. What were you doing in medical school then?
It's so all related.
It is.
What happened was I had a tremendous weight problem. I lost a lot of weight, and I got very interested in nutrition. And what I did was I went back to school, and I got my master's and PhD in clinical nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a focus on anatomy, and I had a private practice, and still do to some extent, dealing with people who have medically related nutritional issues and eating disorders.
I don't know if I've ever asked you about blood type. Have I ever told you about eating right for your blood type? I know we probably mentioned it in passing one time
because
I was trying it out for migraines. I have not had a migraine in over 2 years.
That is spectacular.
And whether it's just kind of sampling, but really I don't you know, stay completely, you know, strictly to the diet, but I don't eat as much pork. I don't eat as much, you know, maybe potatoes and tomatoes and things like that, according to my A negative, Rh negative blood type. But anyway.
But, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic because people will say this doesn't work and that doesn't work. If it works for you,
exactly.
That's really all that matters.
Well, that must be what you find with your clients, with your patients, that it's really a matter of trial and error.
I think, as with everything, we have a tendency to be too rough on ourselves, regardless
right.
of what part of our life we're talking about. It's either black or it's white. If we screw up, then, you know, I might as well not even do it or I'll start again on Monday. And we have to cut ourselves, as you just said, a little bit of slack.
Right. And that makes so much sense. How do you get someone into that mindset of it's not about what you've done, it's about what you're going to do now?
That is a very difficult question because it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has a key that has to be unlocked. But I really think the important thing in anything that we do in life, really, is that we have to build our own structure.
Okay.
We have to figure out what works the best for us. If we've built it, we're not pushing against somebody else's rules or their stipulations. This is our little house. We know how it works. We know how the foundation is. Sometimes we may wander out a little bit, but then we come right back again.
So a lot of it's knowing about yourself, what works for you.
It's knowing about yourself, knowing about your life, and knowing about how you are going to be able to handle yourself. I mean, I have some fairly stringent rules about my own eating habits. But, you know, I lost 183 pounds. Get
That's
this.
Remarkable.
How can this be?
I know. You're so fit. I've known you for several years, and
no.
You're so fit. I long to be as fit as you.
But, you know, and I thank you for the word fit. But really what I was getting at is the fact that I've had my weight off for over 41 years and I'm 35.
Exactly. And you still think about it, though. You still
oh, yes.
I love your math, though. But you still think about that person who carried around that weight. It affects you for your life.
I divide my life into before and after I lost my weight. And before I lost my weight, it really didn't occur to me I could do anything. And now, as my husband will certainly agree, is that I don't think that if I want to do something, that I can't do it. And that's sort of the freedom
mm-hmm.
that you're getting, at least the aspect of your life that you feel is important to you, under control.
Right. Getting something under control and also like getting it in your mindset that you can change. I think that's something that you're talking about as well, that you can make that difference.
You can. But it has to come from within.
Right.
You know, everyone can talk to you until they're blue in the face and you just want to go and eat a cheesecake. When you're ready, you're ready.
Sure. And I hope that people are ready. And you started the Silver Linings Foundation for a very personal reason. Tell us about your experience.
I did. My husband and I actually started a Silver Lining Foundation in 2002. I'm a breast cancer survivor. I was diagnosed in 2000. It was a rough and difficult road. And because of my work at NBC, and you know me well enough to know, my mouth is not small and quiet.
Right.
I ended up creating a little cable show on CAN TV here in Chicago. I was the host. I was interviewing specialists in the field of cancer. People were calling in, as they do with your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that people were using our show as a primary care physician. And when I talked to them about, you know, my being able to get what I needed, I realized people felt they weren't worthy because they had no money and no insurance. And from that, it was at our kitchen table, my husband and myself, we started a Silver Lining Foundation.
Isn't that amazing that people, well, one, that you saw around all that? Because it's one thing to do a job and have that conversation, but then realize that you're serving a higher purpose for people. But that people value themselves based on what their insurance coverage is.
Well,
it's terrifying.
And I've learned more and more as time has gone on, how many people define themselves and their ability to get care
mm-hmm.
and their comfort level with themselves and their families and for their families by whether or not they're covered by insurance. And what we do at a Silver Lining Foundation, and we have five programs, but they all revolve around either access to information, cancer-related information. But at the heart of what we do is our Buy a Mom a Mammogram program, as you well know, Patty.
Yes.
And what we do is that we fund all breast health testing for uninsured and underinsured women and men, because we can't leave men out of the equation
either.
No,
10%. Is that the number?
It's a little bit lower than that, but men can get breast cancer.
Yes.
And it's interesting how many people don't realize
mm-hmm.
that. And guess what? We now have 13 partner hospitals.
You do 13 partner hospitals.
13.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
It's a lot of hard work.
It's a lot of hard work, but it is a lot of support. And, you know, I used to listen to the phrase, it takes a village, and I thought, man, hackneyed to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize exactly how true that is.
Yes, you do. You need the community to step up as well. And what kind of resistance and fear, I think, is what keeps a lot of women from being tested, whether it's financial or truly health-related?
Well, I think a lot of women are fearful. Not so much fearful of the test itself,
right.
but fearful of the results.
Right.
And especially if they don't have any insurance or are underinsured, what's going to happen next? How am I going to pay for it? I can't pay for it. I'm better off not knowing. And that is just a mind blower. And that's what we do at a Silver Lining Foundation. Mm-hmm. We just take all of that away. You need your testing. You'll get your testing. Don't worry about it. You don't have money. We don't care. You don't have documentation. We don't care. We're here for one reason.
Well, because you do care about everything else.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you don't care about their lack of funds or their the fear of not being able to pay for it later. The number is 312-345-1322. And I'm guessing that you have a 24-hour, like an answering service.
If somebody calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're going to get me.
Well, there you go. What about right now? I feel like calling you.
Well, you can call me anytime. You know
that's
that.
That's true. 312-345-1322. That's the number.
Right.
And please call and with any questions that you have to set up an appointment for screening. This is for uninsured and underinsured people who need to be screened for breast cancer.
And everyone should be.
Everyone should be screened.
Everyone should be.
All right. I need to be screened. I think I'm due for my screening.
And now I'm going to follow you around on the street, Patty, and remind you of that.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back, because I have a certain type of breast tissue that seems to be very hard to test and has to get follow-up. So we'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Dr. Sandy Goldberg and the Silver Lining asilverliningfoundation.org is the website. asilverliningfoundation.org for more information. And again, call, please, at 312-345-1322. More with our wonderful guest when we return on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Dr. Sandy Goldberg, who has created, she's the founder of a Silver Lining Foundation, making sure that women, well, everybody who is uninsured and underinsured, and also follow-up screening, because I've heard your PSAs right here on WGN, and the response you were telling me off the air has been remarkable.
You know, I should know by now the impact that media makes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here, and thanks to the support of WGN Radio, is that I do a 30-second and a 60-second PSA public service announcement. Over 100 women have called from that, and 3 were diagnosed with breast cancer. From this station, 3 lives will be saved.
3 women who were paying attention to the PSA, who got screened, and now can receive treatment. And if they'd let it go, if they hadn't been listening to the radio that day, or if they hadn't taken it, picked up the phone and called 312-345-1322 and got scheduled an appointment for themselves to take care. It's hard for women to take care of ourselves because we take care of so many people in our lives.
Well, that is true. I mean, the focus is always going out from us instead of on us. But, you know, when you think about the fact that here are women that have had no place to go to be able to get that test that potentially can save their life. And again, it was validated. And those, you know, we were talking about it during the break, Patty. I'm sure your listeners are thinking, well, over 100 people, only 3 were diagnosed. The statistic should be 3 women per 1,000, not 3 women per 100.
Right.
So it shows the need out there. And again, I'm so pleased and really so honored that you are supporting us and you're giving out our number. And I tell your listeners, please call us.
And if you want to call right now, if you have any questions, if there's anything you're concerned about, anything that's any fear that you have, Dr. Sandy Goldberg is here, 312-981-7200. And I was mentioning before the break that when I've been screened, I've had to have follow-up because I have dense breast tissue.
Right.
And I also had found a lump in my armpit, which was kind of scary because and the reason I noticed it too, and what I thought of right away was Terms of Endearment.
The movie with Shirley MacLaine
and Deborah Winger.
Right.
Because before we talked about breast cancer, really, that was the first movie that I really remember there being cancer. Like, you know, and I didn't understand what was going on. I was a kid. But I realized now as an adult that was breast cancer.
Right.
She found a lump the doctor finds a lump in her armpit. And they had to put my armpit on the plate. But after they were done, they came back with a ultrasound as well. So tell me a little bit about dense breast tissue.
Well, different women have different types of breast tissue, number one. Younger women's breasts have a tendency to be much more dense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just younger tissue. So when you think about younger tissue, even a younger under the arm, as opposed to someone who's a little bit older, there's a difference in the breast as well. So the ability to be able to get a clearer picture, you have to be able to use, and really in a much younger woman, we normally don't even ask our hospitals to do a screening mammogram, which is the walk in the door. Generally, you go right to either a diagnostic or an ultrasound, or in some cases, an MRI.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and the digital imaging, that's something that I was going to ask you about as well. Senator Holmes in Springfield had sponsored some legislation to make sure to expand the coverage for digital imaging, which can be more precise.
It can be. It can be. And that's one of the things that we are doing also at a Silver Lining Foundation, is that we want to make sure that the women that come to us and the men that come to us are have access to the testing that they should have access to.
So it's appropriate for who they are, what their makeup is.
And also the technology.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was diagnosed 15 years ago, and the differential in terms of the equipment that I was diagnosed on then and what is available now, it's like looking at a film through Vaseline as opposed to having a microscope. I mean, it's fascinating, the difference.
That is remarkable. And I also, and I've said remarkable three times, but you know why? Because Dr. Sandy Goldberg brings that out of me. I want to use that word a lot. I have a friend who, sadly, she passed away. Kathy Owen was a very good friend of mine, a woman who worked at Zanies. She had discovered a lump in her breast several years ago and went to a doctor, and he said, I'm not very concerned about that. What can you tell women who, when they really feel like something is wrong?
That is a spectacular question. And what I will say, and I say it over and over and over again, we also have a breast health education program at a Silver Lining Foundation. If you feel something and your doctor doesn't agree with you or is minimizing it, you get yourself another doctor.
Okay.
You know your body. You know how you feel. If that alarm is going off, you have a concern, and someone is poo-pooing it, you are going to the wrong person.
Okay. That just plain and simple right there, go to another doctor.
Right.
Get the test done.
Right. The youngest woman diagnosed with us was 21 years old.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. And that was, I believe that's why, you know, women are often poo-pooed, as you said, because, oh, you're too young. There's no family history. It doesn't seem significant to me, I believe, is what one of the words he used with her.
Mm-hmm. But what we also have to do, and we are also teaching young women in our education program, is the fact that you have to be an advocate for your own health.
Yes.
You're the one with the voice, and you are entitled to get what you feel that you need, especially if you're noticing something that is, to you, not normal in terms of your own body tissue. That's why we're always talking about regular breast self-exams.
Right. And you can go online and see diagrams. I'm sure there are videos now. You can take a look. And, you know, with your arm above your, it'll show you the arm above your head and start doing circular motions all the way around.
And I only wish that we could show your listeners what we're
that
doing.
That I'm rubbing my,
yes. Yeah, you're doing that. Well, you're certainly doing your own breast self-exam. But what you're doing, and I'm going to ask you to adjust it, is that you are feeling under your arm with the very tips of your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to bend those fingers back a little bit. Now I'm going to pick up my arm, too. So visualize this, please, Patty's listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Do with the pad of your finger.
Okay, so right in here.
As opposed to the tip.
Okay, not like this, but the pad. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So bend that back a little bit.
Yeah, and then what you do is that you start from the middle and go out deep, deeper, deepest, and just go all the way around the breast that way.
And in addition to that, that's something you should be doing as regularly as possible, once a month?
Once a month, but usually, you know, if you have a regular menstrual cycle, then what you want to do is about 10 days after the end of your menstrual cycle.
Okay.
Because
put it on your calendar. Put it right. We all have these phones now.
Right.
Put it like there should be, you know, just an alarm. An alarm.
An alarm.
Yeah. Put an alarm on your phone every 10 days after your last cycle. And for men, once a month, pick a day. I don't know.
With men, and it's very interesting because with men, sometimes men don't want to believe that they can have breast cancer or something is wrong. And generally you can tell because there's a lot less tissue there. But still, it's a good idea. You don't feel something right. Maybe you're having a discharge. Go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor. This is Dr. Sandy Goldberg. And please call a Silver Lining Foundation. They will screen anyone that comes to them. If you're uninsured, underinsured, 312-345-1322 and visit a silverliningfoundation.org. And we will wrap up with her in just a moment because I know it's getting late. It's pretty late, as a matter of fact, on 720 WGN. This means it's time for Mark Carm, and it's time to catch up with Carm, our very own sports reporter for Pretty Late on 720 WGN. Hey, Carm, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. Happy Blackhawks Parade Day, which is now official about by 8 minutes.
That's
so
right.
It's gonna be fun today.
Are you heading down here? Are you going to be at the parade?
I'm going to be on with Amy Goose tomorrow, 1 to 3, reliving the show that we did the other night.
That's outstanding. Why are you doing 1 to 3? Are Bob and Marianne going to be at Soldier Field?
I did not ask upper management as to the reason. I just said, thank you very much. I would love to do it. So I can't answer that question. But, I mean, I think that was a great choice by management, and I applaud them for it.
I have to agree. It's a great choice. Yes.
Thank you, Patty.
Hey, I know that after our coverage, you took me out for dinner at Jerry's Diner at Montrose and Western. It was fantastic.
It was a hot look for me, you, and Daphne at a 2:30 with a BLT and a grilled cheese and whatever else was for some French fries.
Some French fries and navy bean soup.
Mark Carmen took you out for dinner?
Yeah.
On Monday, he took you out for dinner?
You and Betty were going out for dinner.
There was no invitation over here, Mark Carmen.
We didn't know that.
That's fine. I made a grilled cheese at home. I had it all by myself.
I don't think we knew we were going to go out until we were out.
I had a little tomato soup and a grilled cheese all by myself.
A
side of tears.
A cup of tears.
It filled a whole cup.
I believe, if memory serves, Craig, you were with your lovely wife that evening, and you guys sprinted out of the studio and wanted nothing to do with us.
I don't remember it exactly like that, but yeah, I think. Okay.
I don't know if he sprinting, but there was definitely.
We'll rain check the sandwich then. Yes. We're going to rain check it.
Thank you so much for that again, by the way. It was a lot of fun to celebrate on. By the way, have you heard the callers that we had that night have been used as promos ever since? Because we had one gentleman who was not even, he was diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, and he was told he only had 3 years to live, and was celebrating. He was drinking champagne with his son and was just reveling in the fact that he had survived to see the Blackhawks win again. It was great.
I heard the promo with the truck driver and the honk.
That one, too.
That was a good one.
He said he was honking the horn while he was driving in the middle of the night. We had those. That was our. Those
and you asked
our,
him to honk, and that went off on the radio. It was cool. It was a cool-sounding radio.
I hope he didn't get in any trouble.
I think that Duffy turned those around like 5 minutes after we did them, because I heard him that night driving home.
Yeah, I heard him in the wee hours.
Duffy is a rock star. I was the same thing. I was like weeping. I'm like, wait a minute. This sounds so familiar. Oh, wait. That was from our show.
That's me.
Wait a minute. That's fantastic. So, yes. So, the Blackhawks parade tomorrow, you'll be covering it right here on WGN 720 from 1 to 3 with Amy Guth. And so, are you going to have people calling? Do you have you have somebody planted in Soldier Field? What's your plan?
We have, I think there's 7 people, all of the WGN umbrella hanging out. The Judd Surratts, the Andrea Darlises, David Kaplan, Connor McKnight are all going to be involved. And I think one of the things we're going to do is track down some of the former Blackhawks who won in 2010 and who aren't there today, like a Brian Campbell,
excellent.
Your guy, Patty.
That's my guy. That's right. Soup, you're going to have Soup on tomorrow.
Yes, that is Soup hasn't quite confirmed that yet, but I'm assuming Soup will.
I think so.
So we're trying to, you know, just get a feeling from the past what it's like to, you know, be up there and live that dream. Which, you know, we can all sit there and enjoy watching it. But we know what it actually feels like to be there and look at that sea of mass of humanity in red and white and black and the whole deal.
Do you prefer the fact that you'll be in the showcase studio rather than in the middle of that mass of humanity? Yes.
Absolutely. What are you going to do? I have not to say that the millions that are going to go out tomorrow are making a bad choice, because they're making a great choice, but
I'll be listening to your show from 1 to 3 with Amy Guth and watching it on television.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I love the spirit of it, but I like viewing it from the comfort of the WGN studio or my couch or places. The last time I went to a rally like that was, I think, the Bulls' first championship in 91, and that was enough.
That was you got the entire your full cup of cheer and championship celebrating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of the night that they win to certainly enjoy yourself, as we were trying to encourage people to do the other night. But mm-hmm.
savor it.
The rally is almost like a family day.
It is.
You know?
We saw kids here. There was a whole family from Naperville. There are 2 carloads of kids and their parents and aunts and uncles all ready to stay down here and, you know, be right on the route for the parade. They're not going into Soldier Field, which, as you heard today, a lot of people were very angry about the results of having to buy tickets online.
Yeah, I don't the vitriol going at people who are actually selling the Soldier Field rally ticket is a little over the top for me. Like, if somebody was fortunate enough to be quick enough on Ticketmaster and get four tickets and they want to make a couple dollars on it, I mean, we do live in a capitalistic society. We don't have to hate on these people. And if somebody wants to pay for it, then great. And if you don't, then don't.
Even if it's illegal? They're non-transferable. Technicalities.
Do you go over the speed limit?
Oh, look at that with the, do I go over the speed limit? I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
I have only always gone the speed limit.
Craig has seen me only always go the speed limit and never.
That's not what I saw.
Ever.
You tried to murder a person.
try as a loose, use of that term.
I think reading between the lines there, Patty, we have a disagreement. You think that these people that are selling tickets are completely wrong.
I think it's unfortunate. I think that, 60,000 tickets for an event that about 1 million people are going to descend upon downtown Chicago is, and look, I don't know what the solution is. Grant Park is a mess from all the rain. You know, I guess before they've just closed down a couple of intersections and that wasn't enough. They've extended the distance of the parade. The parade route is now double what it was before, right?
Yep. I think even more than that. And they're putting up big screen televisions in the parking lot at Soldier Field. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like a party with each other. You can't tailgate, though. Did you hear about that? Craig is very upset about the no tailgating rule.
Yeah, I don't know. That is an issue. Why? What is the reasoning behind no tailgating?
That's going to be hard to enforce.
Oh, I don't think. I mean, the grills are going to be pretty apparent.
Oh, I mean like drinking.
Oh, the drinking.
I don't know about grilling. Yes. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be grilling.
Yeah, no.
It would be a good place to go with your food truck.
Is tailgating only, do you think more drinking? I always think of like
grilling. No, tailgating to me is the whole nine. You got to grill some stuff. It's a really great experience.
What is your first memory of tailgating? Because mine, I had no idea this was a cultural thing. I grew up in Chicago, never went to a Bears game. When I went to U of I, there are people who had like those mobile homes and they had the canopies and
homes.
Yeah, they're mobile homes in the lot. Yeah.
You need to have
not
a
mobile homes,
so
it's trailer
RVs.
Or whatever. RVs,
yeah,
whatever.
People have some RVs.
But the really fancy, like high-end ones. Like there was a hog butcher from Jacksonville, Illinois that like had this whole corner of the lot.
Bacon for everyone.
Bacon, it was. There was a lot of sausage.
It's very communal. Anyway. It's really great. And it would be amazing to do tomorrow.
It would be amazing to do.
Carm, hint, Chicago.
Carm, when was your first? Do you remember your first tailgating experience?
You made me think about this, and I think tailgating, you either come from a tailgating family or you don't. And
I did not.
My dad is an older gentleman, World War II generation, so whenever we went to a sporting event in my youth, he would, pack the corned beef sandwiches and peanut butter and jelly and say, I'm not paying $2 for a hot dog.
Sure.
Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal. It was unbelievable. And it took me until like probably 33 years old where I felt like, it's okay. You can actually buy a hot dog at the stadium and not feel like you're ruining society. But we weren't tailgating.
I didn't realize that was
contributing to
exactly.
Decay.
Mm. This was a serious moral issue, the price of food at stadiums. That was just completely wrong, and you can't do that, and I would never pay that. And it wasn't like good old Fred Carman couldn't afford the $2 hot dog, but he's a man of principle, damn it, and he wasn't going to do it. So. We weren't see that's how I was raised, Patty. It wasn't fun. Like it was more like that's right, this is wrong, and there certainly wasn't any tailgating with we weren't throwing bags and having chips and drinking whatever. That did not go on. So I guess for me it was college, years when I finally like made some friends and stuff.
I love the takeaway from Mark's sentence just there that he said, that's how I was raised, Patty. It wasn't fun.
It wasn't.
There was no fun in the Carman house.
There was no. Well, I don't remember. My dad would take me to Wrigley, and I think I got to have hot dogs and stuff. It wasn't like when I take Griffin, every other inning, we're getting like a big pretzel and a big thing of nachos and a hot dog. We get the whole experience with the food. But I had never tailgated until, U of I. But I think there'll be the drinking part. But I think of tailgating, as Craig said, with the full on the grills and all the food and all the lawn chairs and things like that. So we'll see.
Does anybody think it's just a little bit weird to get up at 9 o'clock on a Thursday and just start putting them down for a parade?
confuses what the question's about. No, I don't think that makes sense.
It's because it's 5 o'clock somewhere at 9 a.m.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Way to go, Patty.
Besides, it's rally day. It's parade day. We have Trucker Allen. Let's do Trucker Allen before we take a break here. We're talking to Carm. It's Catch Up with Carm. Every week we talk to him about sports. Hey, Trucker Allen, what are you thinking about this big parade, this big hullabaloo we've got? Yep.
I think the best place what they should have done is for the celebration is they should have set up some kind of a stage or something in the parking lots of U.S. Cellular Field. There's plenty of room around there. It's dry. You could block up the side streets or whatever. It wouldn't matter there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the area very well. Carm, what are your thoughts on that? Would that be a good place to have had it?
Sure. That's a fine idea. It's better than what's going on, I guess, now. But I do think that it'll look cool. Like, it sucks that there's only 60-some-odd thousand people that can get in there. But, you know what? I mean, on that huge grass Grant Park field, there's not 2 million people on there. I mean, that's more like – I mean, if there's 40,000, I'd be surprised. It's more the people that are on the parade route, you know? So I get it that it's sold out in 15 minutes and more people want to be in there. But at the very end of the whole, I mean, there's still going to be people all along the route and they'll be able to enjoy it that way. I don't know. I think we're making a little bit too big of a deal of this team. I think it's going to be all right. I think a lot of people are going to have fun tomorrow.
I think a lot of people are going to have fun tomorrow. I do think I was listening earlier, and Connor McKnight said on Ro Khan's show that he felt that it was not true to the spirit of the event, that perhaps we were letting a lot of people down. But I think we're talking through our opinions of this. And, oh, here, should we take Tim right now? Let's take Tim. Hey, guess what? This is like a reunion from Monday night. Hey, Tim, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How's it going, everybody?
It's going really well. Is it strange to hear your clip? I'm sure you've heard it many times now since you called us on Monday night celebrating the victory of the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple of times already, and I call my wife. I'm like, hey, I'm on the radio. Go ahead and check it out.
You know? Yeah. We were thrilled.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
We were thrilled to have it. Will you honk the horn for me again?
Yeah, sure. Let me roll down the window. I did not get in trouble last time for it, though I might have freaked a couple people out in cars.
Please freak people out. It's late at night. It keeps them awake. Hey, if you're on whatever road Trucker Tim's on, go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
I love it. It's a WGN horn. It's
That's
a WGN
so cool.
truck horn. I know. It's fantastic. Where
I want to hear Chelsea Dagger now after the horn.
Oh. He can't play it with the horn, I think. That would be a true talent.
Maybe the spectators can sing it.
What highway and byway are you on right now, Tim?
I'm on I-57 headed north.
All right. If you're on 57 north, that was just a WGN horn, a fan horn right there was what that was. Nothing to be afraid of.
Go ahead and have him do it one more time.
One more time with
one
your
time.
Horn.
One more
horn.
Time. All right. There we go. For WGN radio.
Thank you.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
That's how we celebrate. We're reliving Monday night.
Can I ask you a question? Do you choose to drive at night, or is that what you have to do? It's what I have to do. Okay. I'd rather not, but you know, pays the bills. Hey, we appreciate you, my brother.
Yes, we do. Moving all of our goods so that we can live the lives that we want and where we try to live with all the, you know, I've never even asked. What are you moving? What are you hauling?
Carpet.
Oh, there you go. I'm a big fan of the carpet tiles. I'm not sure if you got any of that in your truck, but if any of them happen to fall off, I need some of the gray ones for my basement. We got a little bit of water damage.
I just might have some on here.
All right, I'll meet you at on 94 over by the Dan Ryan 9094
over by there.
Tim, you be safe.
Over and by there.
Thank you so much for being part of creating our memories. And really, it's something we're going to treasure that moment for the rest of my career. Craig and I will, and I think Carm as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Be safe out there. Carm, when we come back, I want to find out what happened at Wrigley. Not Wrigley, but with the Cubs tonight. I was watching the game, and I wasn't paying attention to the score, and something kind of crazy happened. And I want to make sure that I wasn't imagining it, all right? Did I lose a – no? Is he
no,
there?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So can we talk about the Cubs? And I guess there was a basketball thing that happened last night as well.
That's true.
All right, let's talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Mark Carm, and find him on Twitter @TheCarm. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
I have Cushing's disease. The doctor said I wasn't going to live for more than 3 years. And I've just now enjoyed my third cup. I'm 14-0 when I'm in the hospital when the Hawks are in the playoffs. And life can't be any sweeter. I got to watch the game tonight with my son and have the first glass of champagne with him after Patrick Kane scored. And I have never felt so alive in my life.
Hope when the moment comes, you'll say,
the stories continue on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
It's such a memorable night, and we have with us on the line Mark Carman, who, you know, Carm and I hung out here for those calls, and we were so touched to be here and savor that victory with everybody. Carm, speaking of victories, was I seeing my screen correctly when the Cubs played today against Cleveland?
It was actually the Bears and the Browns.
That's what it looked like.
17-0. Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive. That's after losing 6-0 to those Cleveland Browns / Indians, last night at Wrigley when the cup was being walked around before the game.
Right.
But I guess the story from tonight is the Cubs brought up one of their young studs because they're playing an American League team and he can DH. So a guy by the name of Kyle Schwarber, Patty,
is he a catcher?
Yes, he is. He's also a catcher.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably be, if I had to guess, an outfielder when he actually gets here, but his position is to be determined later. But he went 4-for-5 tonight, and, he was part of the offensive attack, which also included a Chris Bryant grand slam with 2 outs, and, of course, the bases full in the 9th inning. So it was 13-0, and they made it 17 in their second to last at bat, which is pretty.
Just put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Old school Cubs, by the way, would lose tomorrow by a run. So, you know,
that's true.
You know, they win by 17, lose by 1. But so hopefully.
Yeah, you wish they would spread those out a little bit.
Right. That's so like 1979 Cubs. This is a whole new generation. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they'll take care of this. Cleveland, the final game of the series tomorrow. Which it's a weird two games at Wrigley, 2 games in Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a weird split.
Yeah, the first game too was rained out so we're all caught up on Cubs baseball. But they're the playoffs started today. The Chicago Cubs would be in it.
Yes,
unlike the White Sox, who are now 8 games under 500 and in last place and fading fast.
Yeah. Well, this loss today must be the worst thing that's happened to Cleveland in a long time. This loss to the Cubs.
Yeah.
It's got to be hard to swallow. I can't even imagine.
Well, Cleveland's having a weird week.
It's a little rough over there. LeBron, after the game, I don't know if you saw this one, he got up there and, you know, he's lost in the finals now 4 times and he was dejected as anyone would be. And he said that, sometimes I feel like I'd rather not make the playoffs than lose in the finals. Which I was kind of surprised to hear him say that, because part of life, of course, is living it, Patty, as you do every single damn day, right?
So, that's right. Live it.
That's right. So, but I think that was just kind of, an hour or so after the game, still kind of mourning what had just gone down, and he doesn't really feel that way. Mm-hmm. But he played unbelievable, and he was playing with not even half a deck. There was one funny meme on Twitter that I saw afterwards, the 2014-2015 Cleveland Cavaliers team photo, and it was just a picture of LeBron.
Oh. Well, that's the thing. You know, you got to have, there's got to be somebody else on the team. He's got to pass it to somebody. I did see him drive the lane and slam it in, and I was like, oh yeah, I could see why he's the best player in the world right now. I mean, it looked like he was just stepping on everybody to get in there.
He is a very large, talented, extremely motivated man who will be back again. Depending on the odds maker, some have Cleveland favored to win it next year, and some have Golden State. So I'd be shocked if they weren't right back up there next year. Of course, don't count out Derrick Rose and the Chicago Bulls.
I was going to say, what about the Bulls? I'm calling. Well, you and I right now, we're saying the Bulls next year. We're saying the Blackhawks and the Bulls all in it next year.
All the way.
All the way.
Absolutely.
All right, Carm, keep it down. Your roommates are trying to sleep. Will you?
Thanks, Patty. Have a great show.
Thanks, Carm.
Appreciate you.
Again, okay. I appreciate you, too. And tomorrow, Carm will be on with Amy Guth from 1 to 3 covering the parade and all the festivities. And follow him on Twitter, at the Carm.
Well, if you hate to laugh, it's not for you. Well, here's something different that you're not used to. It's a bedtime lullaby from the Cupid Players. Put your hands together for the Cupid Players. Written by the Cupid Players. Edited by the Cupid Players. Performed by the... I'm not reading this big stack of Cupid Players' papers. Let's just get on with it. Here they are.
And here she is. It's Becca from the Cupid Players. But this week, we have a special event coming up at Stage 773.
Yes, we do. It's the Chicago Women's Funny Festival. And that starts tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs through Sunday. It's going to be 80 shows, 500 performers in 4 days.
I have to find out what time my show is. I'm not entirely sure which day it is. It's either Friday or Saturday. There's so many shows. I just plan on being there both nights, and then you guys tell me when to go up.
Sounds good.
That's kind of the way I have it planned. And you, the Cupid Players, the women of Cupid Players, are doing Saturday night?
Saturday night at 8 in mm-hmm. the Pro Theater at Stage 773. We've written a bunch of new material. We've got some fun bits. It's gonna be a blast.
And this festival was voted one of the top festivals. I think the top festival on a couple of lists.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
With bigger than Laugh Fest in Montreal, they're saying it's better than that.
It is. Mm-hmm. That's true. And it's in its fourth year now. And I feel like every year the performers get like more and more exciting. Mm-hmm. Katie Rich from SNL is gonna be there.
Ah.
She's
fantastic.
One of the writers on SNL right now. She was a Second City main stage alum, and she's going to be there.
How many years have you done it?
This will be my third year in a row.
This is your third year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful.
All Cupid.
All Cupid all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe you want to do like a solo show there at one point? I would think.
I would like to. I'm actually working on some solo material potentially for next year's Sketch Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be pretty fun. I've delved into it a little. I am potentially going to be doing an album of all my, like, comedic songs.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
And, well, when people think of sketch, they don't think of it as being a solo performance. Can you talk a little bit about what that, you know, with how it's different from, like, stand-up comedy?
Well, solo sketch, as opposed to stand-up, is more... It's more characters. Mm-hmm. It's more like personas and you know, bits. And
a little more theatrical, too, wouldn't you
say?
Yeah,
absolutely. There's more. And I think sometimes stand-ups are a little, like, I mean, I feel like some stand-ups are jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Others are, like, stories. With this, you can have, like, a through-line story and, like, make it all based on, like, one theme.
Right. I saw a woman who was dealing with breast cancer who mm-hmm. had done an amazing show this last festival.
Yeah, I think she might be back this year. Judy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Judy Fabjance. Yeah, she's one of the teachers at Second City.
It was multimedia. There was music. Mm-hmm. There was storytelling about her life and her partner and her daughter and everything that she was going through.
So, mm-hmm, yeah. Sure, yeah. It's like more of a variety show than like a... Mm-hmm. Stand-up.
Which is a lot like what this festival will be. It'll run the gamut of sketch, mm-hmm. of stand-up, of storytelling,
improv.
Music, right?
There's some burlesque.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's all going to be super fun.
I just came from my burlesque class at Studio L'Amour. I'm studying at the Studio L'Amour. Michelle L'Amour, regular guest on our show.
That sounds so fun.
She does shows at the Wiggle Room, and she does Naked Girls Reading. You should come take classes with me. Dr. Sandy Goldberg wants to come with me, by the way. On her way out, she said, get her information for that.
Yeah, let's just bring as many guests as we can.
I will, yeah. I'll bring you with.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that sounds so fun.
It's wonderful. A little bump and grind, a little tease.
Little A's.
All of that stuff. You would love it.
Oh, tease, as in T-E-A.
Little
T-E-A. Yes. I thought you were saying
little
T-E-A.
Yeah, a little T-E-A.
Yeah,
a little I have tassels. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know how to twirl them yet, but they were trying to explain how I have to put mine on because if you're a little bit, let's say, older and perhaps a little mileage, you know, then plus I breastfed.
Sure.
Mine are longer is what I'm saying. I went from a 34C to a 38 long, but I have to scoop mine into the tassel and tape it up.
Warning. We are entering adult topics here.
I think this kind of applies, right?
You have been warned.
Yeah. You know, this reminds me. There's something I want to pull up for you. Oh, that sounds wrong.
You were saying something about scooping?
Scooping. I have to
we will keep it classy. Scooping what now?
My, I have to scoop my areolas into the tassels in order to...
See, when you say a word like areola, it just makes it sound so...
Clinical.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right.
He had his finger on the trigger. That was really good, Craig.
Thank you.
We're ready.
Why, thank you. Well, we took a turn.
Basically, I have to take the bottom of my areola and kind of pull it up and tape it to the top of my areola.
Where did that alarm go?
That's basically how I have to do it. So it pulls on the lower skin and lifts. It's like a little mini breast lift. Yeah. Craig, he's like, why? This is the second time during the show that I've felt myself up.
We told you it would be lady-centric.
Hey, no, that's fine. It's, mm-hmm. you know, breast mm-hmm. exam day.
It was even more clinical earlier.
Did you see when she talked about male breast cancer that I did also check myself, Patty?
No, I did not know.
No,
that.
I did. I went in there.
Did you do a little circle? So start.
I didn't
start
do the whole.
Center.
Yeah. Okay.
Start in the center and push soft and then medium
and then
deep.
Not a lot there, so I
Craig
think I'm
is
good.
Giving himself the breast exam right now.
There is a percentage Ladies. Of yes. men who will be diagnosed with breast cancer.
I know.
Mm-hmm. There's something I wanted to find. There's a in answer to the thong for men. There's just a sack to just cover. Just have you seen this?
You sure it's not just a sock?
Did you hit the button?
Was
again?
She here to play some kind of music or something? Is that what this segment was about?
Let's go. Since we've been talking about women's sketch, which one would you like to do first? Do you want to do your lullaby, or would you like to do a song from the Sketch Fest, the women's festival?
Let's do my song from Women's Fest.
I love that. From Women's Fest, here is Becca Brown, and you can That's find me. Her on Twitter at is it at Becca?
No, it's at Becca, but it's spelled B-E-K-K-U-H.
Becca.
B-E-K-K-U-H Brown, all right. As in the color.
All right, excellent. Here is Becca with her song for Women's Fest.
It was a windy, rainy day. I didn't bring my umbrella. My hair was ruined, my shoes were soaked, and I was approached by a fella. He said, "Hey, little lady, what's with the face? The world is not that bad a place. Shake off the bad thoughts for a while. Let me see that pretty smile." So I said, "Sorry, sorry, I didn't realize everyone identifying as female should have happy, smiley eyes. So sorry, sorry, you're right and I was wrong. It's not okay for girls to pout or speak up or be strong." It was the night of our first date. It was going really good. He bought me dinner and he drove me home just like he said he would. I didn't invite him to come upstairs 'cause I wasn't ready yet. He said, "I bought you dinner and drove you home and this is all I get." So I said, "Sorry, sorry, why don't you come in? I wanted to wait for our third date, but you don't, so you win. So sorry, sorry, I'm sure you're worth it too. I don't like being pressured, but I don't want to insult you. We've been dating for a while, and he said I was a one. He noticed he had some issues that weren't very fun. He drank and did cocaine too much, he had a teensy jealous streak. He threw me into a wall for getting home too late. I couldn't walk right for a week. Sorry, sorry, it was probably my fault. My little tiny brain didn't comprehend that love equals assault. So sorry, I'm sorry, I apologize. I'll do my best to keep smiling through my bruises and black eye. Now we ladies have been taught to say sorry for so long. Some of you may not have realized that this is a satirical song. Sorry, not sorry, I don't deserve this. If ladies treated you this way, you'd throw a freaking fit. So sorry, not sorry, my brain's not yours to own. I hope things change, and if they don't, I hope you die alone.
Very poignant.
Oh yeah, I want to stand. This is, yeah, there you go.
I got my lighter. I'm standing up and holding my lighter.
Thank you.
That really was excellent.
Outstanding. That was a I'm blown away. Thank you so much.
Just shake the mics off. Shake the mics off.
Yeah, I can't.
And every girl has experienced that. Why aren't you smiling? Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that so much.
And we say sorry. We say sorry when it's not. No, not sorry. No. You know what? Sorry.
Not sorry.
Not sorry.
Hashtag deal with it, Eric.
Yes, everyone.
Give them the your number one finger.
Deal with it, Eric. What?
Deal with it, Eric, is actually the title of our Chicago Women's Funny Fest show, which you can see on Saturday at 8.
Saturday at 8. It's what's the exact title for the Cupid Players?
The Ladies of Cupid present Deal with it, Eric.
The Ladies of Cupid. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, stage 773. Go to stage773.com for all the information for Women's Fest. I'm appearing, and I really should find out when. More after this on 720 WGN. This weekend, the Ladies of Cupid present at the Women's Comedy Festival. What is it?
Deal with it, Eric.
Well, it's just better when you say it.
You can only say it like that.
Deal with it, Eric.
Are we supposed to know who Eric is?
Eric Schinzer is one of the boys in Cupid, and he so basically the breakdown of our show, and I'm not going to give too much away, on Saturday it's like a adult ladies slumber party.
Ooh.
And Eric is filling the role of angsty teen brother who, like, we forced to be there. yeah, so that's why the title of the show is Deal With It, Eric.
Nice.
And Eric represents all the Erics of the world. I mean, not just our Eric, but all of the Erics who tell us to smile and rub up on us on the CTA and all that.
Oh, CTA, crowded bars, at ballparks, everything. Yeah, it's a strange world for us. And we sound whiny if we don't take it as a compliment. What? You know, someday you'll appreciate it. You know, when your looks are gone, you'll wish that people were whistling at you and wanting to rub against you. You know.
No thanks.
No, thank
Bye.
You.
My looks are gone and I don't appreciate it.
Your looks are not did. Gone.
Never did.
Laura Vaughn.
I was really cute when I was younger.
Not
but
Laura Vaughn.
I don't miss that at all. Not one bit.
I'm guessing you get hollered at. People holler at you. Well, I'm not going to assume anything. I don't mean to be presumptuous.
Not so much, but I used to. I used to all the time get that because I have kind of an angry face anyhow. Like, I have kind of a mad face all the time.
It probably came from people hollering at you.
Well, yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I think I was born with it. I was born this way.
Maybe I was born this way.
Well, so you know who was not born this way?
Uh-oh.
Was the head of the NAACP.
Transition.
Look at that. Ooh, I love that. There is so much. Now she's saying, prove it. Prove that I'm not black and that those people aren't my. How crazy
is
this woman?
Have you seen pictures of you as a child? I'm sorry.
Yes. The whole thing's gotten crazy. The thing is, like, had she not lied, like, do you think that she could have been the head? Can a white person be the head of the NAACP? I believe it was created by a white woman. But
sure.
It's the lying. I mean, she's like, you know, she continues to lie. She's sticking by the lie.
The whole thing about it that really upsets me is that. It's it's okay to be white, and she's like not okay with it. I don't know. It's just kind of a like it's a soft spot for me.
It is it's the lying about it too. You know, people are saying, well, you know, if Bruce Jenner can be a woman now, why can't this white woman say that she really feels black?
That's not how it works.
Well, what do you mean? As far as black or you're not.
You can't. Like, I'll talk about it in this song, but it's just, it's like...
She needs to sing the song.
I need to sing the song before I say bad words.
Here's the lullaby from the Cupid Players. Here is Becca Brown.
Some people are born with birthmarks. Some people are born with red hair. Some people are born gay and some people are born straight. Rachel Dolezal was born with skin that's fair. Some people are born into rich families. Some people are born with freckles on their face. Every person's born with little attributes, but when you're born a certain race, honey, you'll always stay that race. Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel. There's no such thing as transracial. Your actions have been shady. Sorry to break it to you, lady. You are white. Some people make the choice to get married. Some people make the choice to have kids. Some people make the choice to be religious. Rachel Dolezal chose what her ethnic background is. Some people can't decide what shoes to put on. Some people can't decide on a flavor of schnapps. Some people can't decide to suddenly be white when their pool party is raided by the cops. Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel. There's no such thing as being transracial. You've been telling many lies, and this may come as a surprise. You are white, super duper white. It's super cool to be a humanitarian. It's super cool to be into civil rights. It's super cool to be a part of the NAACP. It's even cool to join them if you are white. Now, being black is not a weekend adventure. Being a person of color is not just a special occasion. It's okay to be white and just be an ally. It's okay to be down with the cause and still be a Caucasian. Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel. There's no such thing as being transracial. Are you serious? Your 15 minutes are almost done. I'm sorry to spoil all of your fun. You're totally 100% possibly Native American, but absolutely super duper white.
She must have wrote that really fast. You must have wrote that really fast.
I wrote it while I was...
in the last couple days.
And she's saying it very well. Do I go? Can I wrap up with her right now, or do you want me to wrap up after the... I'm going to do this real quick, and then we'll all talk about your wonderful song and Women's Comedy Festival this weekend at Stage 773. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I actually just got off the phone with our guest, who's on hold for just a moment as I introduce him, and he's like, I'm watching you on WGNRadio.com. It's a very strange world we live in, Craig, now that people can watch us live streaming. We have Becca still in the studio hanging out, because I wasn't going to throw her out. She did a great job performing, and Eddie said that he wishes he'd come down because he could have sang a song with her. Eddie Cruz and I have been friends for several years. I met him at some of my comedy shows, and as it turns out, we've also been working down in Springfield. He has been working down in Springfield much longer than I have. He is a legislative representative for the Associated Firefighters of Illinois and a recent retiree from the fire department. Hey, Eddie, how are you doing?
Hi, Patty. Sending you radio hugs.
Well, radio hugs to you, too. I know that you went down to Springfield yesterday. I took the day off from going back and forth because I was a little bit worried about all the flooding in Illinois, and I just wanted to make sure I could get back home. But you went down there, and you and I have been hanging out in Springfield for the last – well, you are there pretty regularly. How much time do you spend in Springfield?
Whenever the General Assembly's there, me and my colleagues are there. We represent professional firefighters all over the state in 217 different cities.
And how many firefighters does that include, would you say?
15,000 firefighters, including the city of Chicago, all the way from Rockford down to Cairo, Illinois.
And now, how long have you been doing this as a legislative representative?
I'm in my 19th year.
What? So you've been through all the ups and downs of these conversations. And, you know, can we go back then to the beginning a little bit? You know, people are saying that this can was kicked down the field and, you know, the legislature, the General Assembly was borrowing against the pensions. Can you give us a little bit of framework on how this began? I know this wasn't what we were going to talk about because we are going to talk about workman's comp. It's up to you.
Well, yeah, we're going to do a little workers' comp 101 for your listeners, but What nobody seems to be talking about is our country went through a terrible economic crisis in 2004 and 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, me and you, including our local governments and our state governments and the federal government, we're all catching up. And as you know, the stock market has never been higher. And I think things are progressing. You know, it seems everything that's coming out of the governor's mouth is pretty negative, but I live by the motto, if you're not laughing, you're not living, and positive mental attitude. So I see things from a different perspective.
Right. And from a different perspective and experience, because you've been through all these negotiations, all these conversations. He has not. He has no legislative experience in the state of Illinois. And when people keep saying, well, this was, you know, I didn't create this problem, but I'm going to fix it. I don't even know how that begins to happen. Apparently, his solution right now is to go after the Speaker of the House and President Cullerton. He's going after Madigan and Cullerton with these TV ads to say that they're not willing to negotiate on better and strengthening business. And he says he stands up for the working class, and firefighters, teachers, a lot of police officers, a lot of our union workers are also the working class. So I'm not really sure, that seems to be a contradiction. But so I think that workers' comp seems to be one of the things that people don't really understand. They say it's too expensive in the state of Illinois. You went on a rant a little bit last week on Facebook, and that's why I was like, oh, let's talk to Eddie about workers' comp.
Yeah, I kind of go on rants every once in a while, especially after a glass or two of wine. But, you know, over the past few years, there's been a lot of vilification of public employees. You know, like you said, police officers, firefighters, teachers, nurses, prison workers. A lot of us take those people for granted until they're needed. You know, mm-hmm. like the winter we just had, you know, God bless us if we didn't have the state employees plowing our roads at both the state and local level. And then they directed their arrows at our pensions. But what a lot of people don't understand is those pensions are our sole source of retirement. We're excluded from Social Security.
Right.
So that's why they're so precious to us. And we're going to do everything we can to help the local and state government address the funding issues that have been happening over the years. But part of the governor's turnaround agenda, which I call turn around and look in the rearview mirror, is he's addressing voters, but my members are all voters. You know, he's stating that we need workers' comp reform, yet in 2005, we did agreed workers' comp reform. 2011, we did agreed workers' comp reform. They want to cap lawsuits for negligence. They want to stick it to injured workers for workers' comp reform. And that's why I went on my rant, because I saw this program on another television station, and all they did was, for an example of workers' comp, is show a person sticking his hand in a vending machine, claiming he had an injury, and doing a workers' comp claim.
Yeah, Mike Flannery does a really great job on Fox, doesn't he? You just show that footage, and the whole story, isn't it?
That's not an example. That's an example of fraud and abuse. Mm-hmm. We don't condone that. I'm talking about firefighters that are burned in a flashover, or people who work in a factory and have their arms cut off, or someone carrying a box, 100 or 200 pounds, and they ruin their back. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about injured workers that, without the compensation from the Workers' Comp Commission, they would lose their homes, they'd lose their livelihood. All they want is their medical bills paid, mm-hmm. and heal and get back to work. Workers' Comp has been in the state for 102 years, since 103 years, since 1912. Mm-hmm. And it was put in the state statute in exchange for employees not suing their employers in court.
Now, that's important, I think, for a moment, because I don't think people realize that with workers' comp, the employees, the union workers of the state of Illinois cannot sue, right? And
correct.
Union members. Okay.
Correct. It's been on the books in the state statute since 1912. It was designed as a no-fault system. The only argument was whether or not the injury occurred at work.
Right. Causation.
But the basic premise is that employers provide and pay for medical care in exchange for not being able to sue. Mm-hmm. And over the years, the workers' comp system has been tweaked or changed by different bills and laws to change the statute, or by certain court cases, which we call case law. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, there is what was in Springfield called the agreed bill process. Now, the agreed bill process usually applies to collective bargaining, unemployment insurance, or workers' comp. What happens in that case is representatives of business and representatives of labor meet with legislative leaders and put their issues on the table and see if they can agree on changes.
Okay.
This just occurred 4 years ago. And what's so disheartening, what's not being discussed right now, except from the Speaker and the Senate President, is that the bill that passed 4 years ago did have a negative impact on workers because it included a 30% reduction on fees to doctors. Well, that affects us because there's less doctors that are willing to take workers' comp and injured workers.
Yeah, if they're not going to make as much money off of their services, they're not going to provide them.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, there's also they put a limit on the rights of injured workers to choose their own doctor for a specific injury. You know, if you injure your arm, you have a leg amputation, you're not going to go to a cardiologist.
Right.
But there is a limit on the number of doctors that you can, and that's to limit what's called doctor shopping. So the most important thing that's disheartening is that after the 2011 agreed workers' comp reform, the National Council on Compensation Insurance, it's called NCCI,
mm-hmm.
it's an insurance industry rate-making agency. They recommended, because of those changes, a 20% rate reduction for Illinois insurance premiums following the reform bill. That should have represented a $1 billion with a B, dollar insurance rate reduction, and that's according to the Illinois Workers' Comp Commission.
And that was negotiated with both sides. So labor agreed to this too. They wanted to make something that worked for everybody.
Correct. It was an agreed bill passed by labor and by representatives of the different business agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctors didn't agree to it because they had a 30% rate reduction. But the bill did pass and it was signed by the governor. The question remains is why there are over 330 insurance companies in Illinois that provide workers' comp insurance to employers. Why have they refused to reduce their premiums in response to their own industry recommendation?
They only reduced
premiums $315 million. Where did that other $685 million go to?
And has anybody answered as to why it's not being enforced by the state of Illinois, that these insurance companies are able to get away with that?
There is no answer right now. The Illinois Department of Insurance is charged with enforcing it.
Right.
But again, the NCCI just gives rate recommendations. Part of the discussion that's going on right now with workers' comp reform, with the latest proposal that's in the House of Representatives, is a task force to compel the Department of Insurance to investigate why 330 insurance companies are not reducing their rates on employers when we had a recommended 20% reduction 4 years ago.
Now, what do you say to people who are like, well, yeah, but, you know, there's so many people that say they're injured and maybe they got hurt doing something else, or they're just really bilking the system and taking advantage of having physical therapy. And what do you say to that? Or even like that some of those service providers are maybe adding hours because they know that they can get the full compensation for those bills.
There is accusations that what causes the inflated rates for workers' comp is fraud and abuse, like Mike Flannery referred to a couple of weekends ago on his Sunday morning program. But my recommendation for that is they need to hire more investigators.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1998, when George Ryan was governor, they had an early retirement incentive for state employees to save budget dollars. So when Governor Blagojevich was elected in 2002, they had a hiring freeze. So the Workers' Comp Commission hasn't hired as many fraud investigators as they should. So they should fund more fraud investigators to weed out the abuses of the system. So,
has there been any response from the governor's office to the fact that this was negotiated, that there was a workers' comp legislation established in 2011 to go after these, you know, to reduce costs, in order to save money for the state of Illinois? Has there been any response, or the idea is just we want to provide more, you know, bonuses for businesses?
Yeah, I you know what, I cannot answer that honestly because even though I'm a firefighter and an advocate for firefighters, I'm also a registered lobbyist with the state Secretary of State's office, and the governor's administration does not allow their representatives to talk to a registered lobbyist.
Oh, so that's why you don't have an answer. It's not that you refuse to answer. It's that the representatives and the senators aren't actually speaking to you guys, because he has put a ban on that.
Yes. I mean, it's being addressed in both the Senate and the House with their legislative proposals.
Mm-hmm.
including the task force, to investigate why the insurance companies are not following the NCCI guidelines. But I think that's one of the things that needs to be addressed. It's that the governor's proposal is going to hurt injured workers to the point where they are going to lose their homes. They're not going to get their wage compensation. Patty, one other thing I wanted to discuss with you mm-hmm. is that there's this constant comparison between the state of Illinois and the state of Indiana.
That's exactly what I was going to end this whole thing with. I was going to ask you, because they keep bringing up Indiana. They keep saying that we want to be able to compete with Indiana. And I was told by somebody that's just a race to the bottom. Tell me what you want to say about Indiana and the comparison.
It's a huge misconception by comparing Illinois to Indiana. I say it's comparing apples to pistachios. Workers' compensation is based on an average weekly wage.
Mm-hmm.
In Illinois since 2004, according to the Illinois Department of Employment Security, I'm not making these numbers up, the Illinois average weekly wage has risen from $775 in 2004 to $1,005 in 2013, an increase of 29%. Now, that puts Illinois ranked eighth in average weekly wage mm-hmm. in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana is ranked 35th.
That's
Wisconsin's 33rd, Kentucky's 40th, Missouri's 31st, Iowa's 39th.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best indicators of economic vitality is our ranking, and it should be a source of pride for Illinois. But that's also the reason why, just out of the blue, if you lose an arm and you get compensated in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
your loss of your arm could be worth $250,000. As opposed to if you lose your arm in Indiana, it's worth $40,000.
See,
it goes back to the premise. It's based on the average weekly wage.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things I think people need to hear are those comparisons. And, Eddie, I want to thank you so much for clearing that up for us. And I want to know if you'll come back and talk about it again. And I'm going to bring you in studio because we've got nights when you can come and hang out. You've got, I think that let's do that and we can have a whole conversation, maybe a little bit of a panel. Does that sound good?
You got me anytime you want, and I'll promise I'll bring my guitar.
Oh, I love that even more. Have a great night, Eddie Cruz. I'll see you. I'll see you and talk to you very soon. Again, that's Eddie Cruz. He is a legislative representative for the Associated Firefighters of Illinois, and we thank you so much for the information, sir. It's time now for a little break. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. 7.
But we will keep it classy.
Absolutely. Your rootin' tootin' will keep it classy.
Oh, goody.
Doggone it. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. And that warning lets you know that perhaps something of adult nature may be happening. I don't know. What constitutes adult nature?
We do not have a winner on our trivia question quite yet.
Nope.
So that is a hint
mm-hmm.
that the topic may be adult.
312-981-7200. A Lou Malnati's $25 gift card is on the line. If you can tell us what comprises a third of all things left behind in Britain's hotel rooms.
I was going to say toothbrushes, but then I thought,
so far,
Britain.
And thank you for the callers who have, I see what you're saying. I didn't get that before.
Yeah.
I got it. And yes, there you go. And also we've gotten calls from listeners. Keys was one guest. Thank you very much.
Yep. And we've also gotten umbrellas a few times, both via text from Chris and Berwyn and a couple of our callers.
So 312-981-7200, you can call or text and let us know your guess. Also, I want to tell you that umbrellas, if you do need an umbrella, that is a great place to find an umbrella. Go to the front desk and say, do you happen to have an umbrella in your lost and found on a rainy day? It's a good way to cover yourself.
Tips from a traveling comedian.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I often have to ask a front desk to borrow their umbrella. And I usually bring them back, too, whenever I borrow. And if I don't bring it back directly to that front desk, I will leave it at another hotel. So I just 312-981-7200. Also, by the way, I did find out I am performing at the Women's Comedy Festival on Saturday at 6 p.m. for the Smorgasbord. It is for the board of directors. It is their gala.
Nice. Is that a secret show, though? Or are you going to have to hide and then pop up? Are you a surprise?
No, I'm actually on the web. I am on the website. If you go to Smorgasbord.
I wanted you to be a surprise.
I think I'm a bit of a surprise because I'm not on most of the page until you click on Smorgasbord.
What if you also do a little bit of your routine for people waiting in line with tickets?
I would do that.
Point. Just you surprise, this is me entertaining you while you wait.
You know how annoyed people would be? They don't get it. People in line, they don't, if you ever take someone out of context, yeah. If they don't expect something
Oh, you're
to
right. They'll catch just part of it.
Yeah, they'll be completely annoyed. Oh, we have a winner even. Hey, Steve, what do you think comprises 30% of all items left behind in Britain's hotel rooms?
I'll be polite. Marital aids.
Marital aids.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, I think that these are aids that could help in with your marital situation. But
it's awfully general.
I think that it also helps for anybody who perhaps needs to relax at the end of a long day or begin their day in a happy way.
We have a game on this show that we call Appliance or Appliance, and the things left behind at hotels would be appliances.
Yes, that 30%. Was it the warning that gave it away, or was it you thought that it was that, and then we really pushed it over the line with our warning, adult warning?
No, it was given to me.
It was given to you? Well, congratulations. Yeah. You have a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Where are you calling from?
Galesburg, Illinois.
Oh, I love Galesburg, Illinois. The home of, is that where Grant is from? He's from Galena.
Knox College.
Galena's way north. Galesburg's clear down by the Quad Cities.
I performed there one time at that beautiful theater in Galesburg. We actually did two shows for the Bob and Tom Show.
Orpheum.
The Orpheum is such a great old, it's like a vaudevillian, vaudevillian theater, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great. Well, you can order if you don't have a chance to come into Chicago, you can definitely order Lou Malnati's online. So enjoy.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for listening. That's Steve. He's right. So 30% of all items left behind in Britain. I wonder what the number would be in the United States. I think it might actually be higher in the United States.
In the United States, people probably actually come back and get it.
Okay,
In Britain, they're too polite, and they're like, I left my you-know-what. I'm not going back for it.
Okay, so
I'm gonna buy a new one.
Do you think so? Do you think that they're like, they just forget it now? It's a done deal.
Somebody else has touched it.
Someone has already found it by now. Have you ever left anything behind and tried to go back for it? In a hotel room?
My mom left, I think it was $2,000 in a suitcase, waistband thing. And it was in New Orleans.
What?
And she's driving. She freaked out. She called them. She said, I left my suitcase in my room. Can you ship it to me? And they said, yeah, sure. They shipped the suitcase. Of course, the money was gone.
No.
My brother, who's just super smart, said, you need to call them back and say that you're doing an expose for a TV show. And,
yes.
You know, maybe they'll get the money back for you. But it was like, why? Why would you carry that much money suitcase?
That happened to a friend of the show. We're not going to say who because he might be on soon. He's a comedian who left his car, not just left his car unlocked, left cash in the car.
Oh.
And we tried hooking him up with the police officer. And like the police officer was very nice and not laughing at him through email. Not laughing, not. But just kind of like, oh, dude.
When you have a lot of cash on your person, you feel funny, right? And then I don't ever put it down. It's always on me for sure. Mm-hmm. And I look at everyone around me like they could be a murderer.
I sweat at the bank when they give me like 20s in an envelope. And I can't. I don't know what to do with it.
I went to the casino this past weekend after the Blackhawks won game, what was that, five, I guess?
You did.
And I won a few hundred dollars, Patty,
nice.
In poker. Ooh, and they give it to you in $100 bills, and it made me very afraid.
Yes.
When they're handing you $100 bills, I don't know what to do with that. I'm not going to spend that.
Would you have rather have had 10s or 20s?
I would much rather have had $300 in 10s than three
maybe
bills.
Maybe 20s.
Right. That's kind of bulky, $300.
Well, I would have felt like I had won more, too, because that would have been nice.
Did you go up on the bed and throw it up and make it rain up in here?
I did, but I only had three bills, so it wasn't. It was
go to
a
the
drizzle.
Bank and change it to dollars and make it rain.
I had a very small drizzle.
Yeah, that's why you need to have. Yeah.
Right.
I think at least you had to have it in 10.
And I know that's not like $1,000 or $2,000, but $300 is $300.
No, that feels good. No, $300 feels good.
Somebody will take that on in a moment.
They will.
I mean,
feels nice.
I thought everybody was trying. People were going to follow me out of that casino.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm looking behind myself.
Sure. Hey, big boy. You get one of that. You get that lady. Hey.
Hey. So you just cashed in chips. That meant you won something.
Exactly. I want to go back to something that Laura said, that in Britain she thinks that the people who leave adult toys behind, they don't come back for them, and that's why they're in the lost and found. And there might be less in the United States because people go back for them. So I was in Indianapolis and I was performing at Crackers Comedy Club, and I generally travel with two things, with a lot of stuff, but I generally travel with a TENS machine. It's for muscle. I have a bad shoulder, so it's it's electrical stimulation to circumvent the message of pain to your brain is basically kind of how it works. It relaxes the muscle, and then I also relax other muscles, or I work other muscles, let's say, with my other with my appliance. So I was working. It was actually New Year's. I had just finished up New Year's Eve show. Michael Palasek and I were performing together. And for a moment, as I was on the highway, for a split second, I thought, I left both. I left both my TENS machine and my appliance back in my hotel room. And for a split second, I thought, can I call Palisac and tell him? Yeah, no, I can't do that. Because I didn't even have like my appliance wasn't even in its packaging. There was no pouch for it. It was just in the... I keep it in the drawer in the but by the way, that's
I think you made a wise decision. Michael would not have felt comfortable.
So did you leave it or did you
I turned around and went back for
it. Oh, you went back.
New Year's Eve, it was about 2:30 in the morning because we had done our show. We'd wrapped up. We hung out. It was 2:30 in the morning. I was 40 minutes away from Indianapolis. I turned around and I went back for both items.
Is that TENS expensive?
No, the TENS machine, you can get them for pretty reasonable. I got that one. Yeah, I mean, it was replaced. Both items were replaceable. It was really, truly the idea of how housekeeping, opening that drawer, and that was
wouldn't have known what that was.
The TENS machine is fine; it's in a black case. The other item was not in a black case. I keep them both in a. So I had to go back, Craig. I mean, you have. I don't know. I guess most people maybe they would just keep going.
I would not go back.
I went back.
I would just pretend that got in there some other way. If they call, I don't think they would call you. Would the hotel call you?
No, but no. I mean, like, I just didn't want the housekeeper. They put up with so much.
Right.
They didn't need another one. They just didn't need another one. Why? I mean,
we have no use for this.
Yeah, but I mean, like, why do they? They don't need this. You know how many scarring emotional moments housekeeping has, the things that they clean up? I didn't need them to open that drawer.
I bet that's old hat for them now.
I just couldn't.
They
my
just
sister
find one
did
of those.
That for a while. I should ask her about that.
Yeah.
That's the stuff people
found.
Have left behind.
Yeah. Does she need another moment of that? If I could just reduce the horrible, insane moment that housekeeping has to go through.
They have a glove. They put a glove on and throw something out.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I was like, did I even tip? Like, did I leave it behind and not tip?
Oh.
I had tipped.
There you go.
Oh, no. By the way, you know, people, there's somebody who works at a recycling facility says that they also get those items. Those are not recyclable. please do not recycle those items. That plastic is whatever it is. It's not,
do not donate them.
No.
Do none of those things.
I don't understand people who donate.
Is there a process for these things that we you can't just throw them out either? There's got to be another thing we could do with them.
Artwork.
I don't know what to
really
say.
Nice
safely dispose
pieces.
Of the batteries and then the rest can just go in the garbage, right?
Which is
now
a landfill.
It's all plastic and stuff, so it could get recycled, couldn't it?
Now I have to do some research on this.
Maybe if it has, like, you should look for the little recycle symbol on there.
I'm really going to type this into my Google at work. Can I recycle?
Not safe for work.
Oh, no.
It's not. You shouldn't see those kinds of
things. I
should
not hit this button.
Don't hit the button.
We should take a break.
Don't hit the button. Well, I'm going to hit this button, though, and then I'm going to hit another button.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Go slow.
The elevator's back. The stairs look like it was a lot of work yesterday. That seemed like,
Well, and I jogged them in honor of this show. I actually ran the stairs.
That was very good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
But today I just took the elevator again.
Laura Vaughn was ripping it up. She was up everybody's grill. By the way, we do want to let people know as a PSA, there is a website called Sex Toys Recycling, sextoyrecycling.com. Once again, that's sextoyrecycling.com, and they give you information about how you can drop off your items in order to have a greener world.
See, I knew they had to be recyclable.
Absolutely.
Recyclable.
And they actually show you like how the process.
They show
how
you a lot of stuff on that website.
I hope they melt them down, not just repurpose them.
So you seal it up. They send you a pouch. You can email them or pick one up at the a local retailer. And they sterilize all of them upon receipt. Why would they what? So the pouches. So you can also they reuse the pouch.
The
I don't want to understand.
Oh, that's not okay. I don't even want to touch that pouch now.
We don't need
drop off the. We drop off. No. It's the toys. It's all brand new pouches. I apologize for misinforming you. Please do not worry about the pouch. You drop off the pouch at one of the receptacles where it'll be collected and transported to our processing center. They sort them out, and after undergoing thorough sterilization, toys are inspected and sorted according to their material composition. Many of the mechanical toys are sent to skilled technicians in the repair department. Wait, what?
It sounds like they're reused. It sounds like at some point
they're repurposed.
These
they're
are
not
repurposed.
Melting them down.
And how rough of a job is that receiving plant job. We were pulling things out
or
of those couches.
Or the guy
couches.
That has to fix them. I mean, this is my job.
Let's skip. I don't even
know. More PSA.
Hold on.
Anti-PSA.
Hold on. Any metals, plastics, or other materials left over after the reclamation process are recycled for non-sex toy purposes.
Good. I like the reclamation process.
We then use a patent-pending process similar to that used to recycle athletic shoes into rubber surfaces for basketball courts. The rubber and silicone is ground up, mixed with a binding agent, and remodeled into new toys.
This is actual PSA. We're really getting into this.
For sanitary and safety reasons, each toy is then coated with a layer of new silicone.
Okay.
The result is a sex toy that is made of at least 95% post-consumer materials.
Got it.
So you get $5 for each. What?
And a surprise 5% that is still left over from the other guy. 5% of that toy. You don't know where it is, but 5% of that toy, not clean at all.
What do we mean to get to?
Yeah, other stuff. Anti-PSA. Do not use that website,
ever. Yeah,
listeners.
I don't know.
It's very confusing.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't even know if I trust them anymore now. I think they just throw everything in a pile.
Well, that's, does it feel that way? Okay, I'm not. I've
Dude,
worked. In,
no, ew, from the 630. A lot of caps.
We're moving on. We're moving on.
Okay.
We're moving on.
Move on.
Thank you very much. Speaking of recycling, have you ever worked someplace where you felt like perhaps they ask you to sort your stuff and then you've watched? I worked at the John Hancock for many years as a consultant, and I would watch because I worked long hours past when everybody else had left their desks, and I would be there like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, and I would see the cleaning crew come through and just dump both the recycling and regular garbage all into the same thing, the same trash bin.
That's not great.
I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
And which?
What's the point?
I told somebody. Yes.
Well, do you want to do the topics we meant to get to?
Yes, absolutely. Please.
So there's a topic that I thought was hilarious, and I was trying to describe it to you today pre-show, and I don't know if you thought it was as funny as I did, but of course it's from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
There is a man who's been arrested several times. His name is Jeffrey Cranston, and he's arrested for burglary and a bunch of other things, but all he's actually doing would be called indecent exposure. He's just stripping naked and running through people's beach houses. And he said in an interview, because he's done this several times, please stop doing it. He said, I can't stop getting naked and running through people's beach houses.
He has the urge. He just has the urge.
He has a need
to run through their houses naked.
To be completely naked and streak through random people's
homes. He needs some medication and not meth.
Do you think that's some... Or counseling? Yes.
A
little counseling. I think that sounds like something that comes... When you have an urge like that, is it from being suppressed as a child or somewhere along your development?
What I find so entertaining about this story is his insistence that it has nothing to do with anything sexual. He just really needs to get naked and run through people's homes.
Well,
it's a very innocent streaking.
Now, the thing that's funny to me... Not funny. Compelling is that he's getting into these homes, Laura, because people just leave their doors unlocked. They feel like it's a safe community. But at what point do you know that there's a guy just running naked through people's homes? You go, maybe we want to lock that door. Maybe we put a little bit of a deadbolt up.
Maybe like some security cameras, so at least you can get a little looky-loo.
Yeah. So, by the way, he was also arrested in Indiana, all the way from Florida. He was charged with burglary and indecent exposure in connection with these cases that were in Indiana. But yeah, part of it is that these folks, they're not locking their doors, Craig. I'm not saying they're asking for it.
Well, let's say no, because you can never blame anyone. But let's say that in your neighborhood, there's a guy who's just randomly getting naked and running through people's homes. I would double lock. I would make sure to both locks.
If he's completely naked, you think he's not wearing any socks either?
Well,
because I would put some...
I hope there's running shoes. You got to keep the running shoes on.
If he's completely naked, no shoes, I think that you put some sort of material, like maybe some oil.
Set up a booby trap.
All right, we got to set up the naked man trap this week if he runs through our house.
Do you put something sticky or something slippery? Which do you put?
I think you do both. I think you should do something slippery into something sticky.
Yeah.
A little Home Alone action. Right. Yeah, Macaulay Culkin to set a trap for him.
Like a giant spider web.
Exactly.
And he's just stuck there when you get home. That's the naked guy. We got him.
Got him. He's there. Not going to do that again, are you? Do you still have the urge?
He will do
he
it again.
Urge.
He can't fight it.
Well, that's because imprisonment is not a deterrent for him. Perhaps
apparently not.
Slippery surfaces. Maybe that's it.
That's all it took.
It was a slippery, sticky
surface. He stubs
surface.
His toe and he's like, I'm done.
What? This is
now
ridiculous.
Pain involved.
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything you have an urge for?
I've never had that kind of urge.
Oh, I don't mean... Is there anything like you've ever had the urge?
I love ice cream. Is that similar?
Something that isn't normal. Like I've been in.
What is the segment turning into? Go ahead, Patty. Your abnormal urge is?
No, but like, have you ever had an urge to do something you know you're not supposed to? And even if like something dangerous, you've ever been like at a high, I think people have talked about this. I think Nick D talks about this, and I have the same urge of being in a high space.
To jump. There's something in your body that says like jump.
And not that I want to kill myself.
Right. I wonder what it'd be like to free fall.
Or just like, I'm so high up here, I may as well just go down the short
way. You know, you could find out what it's like to free fall by skydiving.
Oh, man.
I did that. It's cool.
I did too, Laura. Did you, it was amazing.
It was awesome.
Did you do tandem skydiving?
Yeah.
You did. You have to take a whole course if you want to jump out alone. It's a really long course.
You're going to do it the safe way.
Right.
I'm sure plenty of people just jump out of planes with a parachute on their. I mean, like, who's regulating that?
How are these people getting access to planes?
Somebody who's not following the rules.
Right.
Do you want to go up and jump? Yeah, I'll take
it. Yeah, I'm just going to go.
Just open the door. Cool. Let me out. What? I did finally see that building that they have in Rosemont where you can try the...
Oh, yeah, the indoor skydiving thing where you don't actually risk your life at all.
I think I'm going to do that. Now, have you done that?
I haven't done that yet.
Do you think you can do it with like virtual reality goggles so that you really think that you see like the...
Those are really popular now at E3, which John Tatey talked about last night. That's going to be the biggest thing coming out of video games in the next couple of years. So yeah, that's a great idea.
Right? So you're...
Throw on some virtual glasses.
And feel like you're skydiving.
Right.
And then you have like... Then you can actually jump off a building.
Yeah.
Right?
You can get the whole experience.
Yeah. Right up to the pavement.
It's just the free fall part, though, right? When you do it indoor?
Why would you put that part in your experience and then you died?
So that you never want to do it again.
Right.
That was so sneaky.
Everything goes black.
See what happens? See what happens when you do this for reals?
Yeah.
That's
turn the air off and you hit the ground. Sounds awful.
You see a white light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
Go towards the light.
Scared straight. No one's skydiving anymore.
They're able to program your grandmother into the, come, I've got some cookies for
you. We have many good ideas on the show. I feel like that is not one of them.
Not good for
giving people heart attacks.
For the indoor skydivers.
Right. Patty, we can break.
Let's take a break. What other ideas can we come up with during the break? Hopefully something worse.